Good morning. It is 9:59 a.m. We are here today, April 13, 2022, via Zoom meeting. April 14, 2022, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 22-002, All Business Enterprise Corp versus the University of Guam. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Vince Duenas. Will Appellant A Corp please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Thank you. Seth Foreman, counsel for All Business Enterprises. No one else from the appellant is present.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency UOG please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, Anthony Camacho, attorney for general counsel for University of Guam, and I am appearing alone, and we have no institutional representative for this hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. May proceed.
Yeah, so
good morning, counsel.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Anthony?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I was just going to submit on the briefs. I wanted just to emphasize that we have a very simple argument, and the motion to dismiss is really just limited to Abe's claims against JWS. That's it. JWS was not awarded a contract, and essentially we cite 5 GCA section 5425A, which says that a protest is limited to the, you know, a solicitation or an award of a contract or the method used. And none of these things apply to Abe's claims concerning JWS, as JWS is not the awardee. And they originally had 2 claims. One was that JWS's bid violated the Buy American Act. They've since withdrawn that. But the remaining claim, which is that JWS failed to essentially comply with the specifications, is the only one that remains. It's our position that as a result of the JWS not receiving an award, this is not properly before the OPA pursuant to 5 GCA section 5425 subsection A. And on that, I would just submit on the briefs. Thank you.
Well, that was your brief, so I'll allow Mr. Foreman to... Okay. They'll also argue. Go ahead, Mr. Foreman.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I also would largely rehash my briefs with apologies for doing that. But basically, the issue is, can a third place bidder protest an award if he believes the issues affect both the first and second place bidders? And we would say the obvious common sense answer is yes. If not, if the OPA follows the economic interest rule that a party must have an economic interest in order to protest, the third place bidder couldn't name both of the bidders ahead of itself. It never could protest because a successful bid against number one would otherwise automatically go to number two. And as we noted, that could encourage fraud, just get somebody else to a sham corporation to put in a second bid $5 higher than yours. And if you win, you've automatically knocked out all the other bidders because you have a second place bidder ahead of them. If Guam does not follow the economic interest rule, it could open the door for frivolous protests by parties who do not have a real interest in the procurement, or depending how things play out, it could create possible delays. If we succeeded in our protest as to Tony's workshop, and we weren't allowed to raise issues relating to JWS, then on remand to the agency, there could be an award to JWS, a second protest, and any delays caused by protests and appeals would essentially be doubled. That's why the U.S. federal, the U.S. Court of Federal Court of Claims has allowed and even required a third place bidder to raise its issues as to both of the two bidders ahead of it. Now, the University of Guam says, well, wait, the federal statute is different. We believe those differences are not significant. Nothing on the face of the Guam statute requires a different result. In addition, there's a general rule of statutory construction. And I'll plead guilty to trying to pander here. I look for Guam precedent from a certain time period. Couldn't find precedent authored by the particular justice I was looking for, but did find a couple panels that particular justice was on. Again, apologies for obvious pandering. But there's a rule of statutory construction that a construction resulting in an absurd and unjust result that would clearly be inconsistent with the purposes and policies of the act in question should be avoided. That's Villalon versus Hawaiian Rock Products, 2001 Guam 5. And the same principle was set forth in Sumitomo Construction versus Government of Guam, 2001 Guam 23. Now, the University of Guam quotes our authorities, our case of federal case authorities, is saying that parties have a standing to protest if, one, they're an actual bidder or prospective bidder or offeror, two, have a direct economic interest in the procurement, and three, if the alleged errors in the procurement are shown to be prejudicial, meaning that if we can prove that but for the error, the party would have a substantial chance of securing the contract. ABE meets those standards here. ULG is saying that somehow the Guam statute should be construed to deny standing to a party who meets that three-point test. Again, I'm rehashing when I'm not pandering, so I'll stop repeating my briefs. But basically, we feel the federal precedent's not binding or nonetheless persuasive, and there's nothing on the face of the Guam statute that would lead to a different result. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Camacho.
Yeah, so I'm not going to rehash exactly what I argued in the brief, which clearly shows that the federal claims cases just simply are inapplicable, nor are they on point, because this economic interest argument is found in the federal statute. We do not have that here. We have 5 GCA section 5425, which says simply that you don't have to show, an economic interest like the federal cases. Instead, if you are a offeror or bidder or potential offeror or bidder, and you're aggrieved by the method of source selection or solicitation or award, you can file a protest. And if the purchasing agency comes down and basically denies your protest, you can file an appeal to the OPA. But those are the three areas. So this economic interest isn't required by our statute. You just have to be aggrieved by, once again, method of source selection, solicitation, or award. In this case, there has been no award to JWS, period. Now, Mr. Foreman tries to state that, well, okay, essentially, if the purchasing agent, if the appeal is sustained, then automatically it would be the next highest bidder. But that's not so under Guam statutes. under Guam procurement law, under UOG's procurement regulations. No, UOG would have to then look at JWS. UOG could state, no, we don't have the funds. We're not going to award it to JWS. We're going to cancel. So there are a plethora of options that UOG would have in the event that the OPA would essentially grant a appeal. So that's just one. And they're trying to argue that, well, that's the only result. That's not true. And essentially, I simply ask that, as we stated in our briefs, that the remaining claim against JWS be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. I've read all of your briefs, and I'm concerned that neither one of you made mention of the DFS decision and its effect on this, because if I were to rule in favor of the university, you would have effectively precluded Mr. Foreman's client from being able to bring an action subsequent to the dismissal or you're giving it to JWS, because you could argue he knew or should have known more than 14 days ago that JWS didn't have the coating on the copper wires. So I think Mr. Foreman was correct in both the protest letter, including his concern about both Tony's workshop and JWS's bids, not mentioning that all of the air conditioners they were going to provide to the university had the required coding that I see on your briefs, Mr. Camacho, that you bolded that requirement of this fiber carbon, whatever it is. That's Abe's concern here, is that all the bids that were submitted by both Tony and by JWS did not all specifically meet that requirement. And your argument that, well, you could split it up and just give award to, I have problems with that, but anyway. I think it is a valid argument, and that concern is as to both Tony's workshop and JWS, and Mr. Foreman mentioned it in his protest letter and in his appeal. So that is properly before us, and I will not dismiss it because I don't want Abe to come back to try to file against the university with JWS as the interested party and have you argue that it's not properly before us because it's outside of the jurisdiction of the OPA because it's more than 14 days from when he knew or should have known that the JWS air conditioners did not have the requisite coating. That's not to say that I completely agree with the way that the DFS case came down. It's making it hell for everybody. And I'm hoping that at some point the court clarifies that, because this is impossible. I mean, we could and should be able to do what you requested, Mr. Camacho, in dismissing this and having it come separately. If you wanted to extend this protest into next year. But the thing is that the Supreme Court has spoken in DFS and said 14 days from when you knew or should have known. And we've had to issue decisions from here where we've made ridiculous findings of when they knew or should have known because of that ruling, and hoping that the court would reconsider. But it hasn't yet. And so we're stuck with it. So we're going to have to deal with it. And I'm not going to dismiss it consequently. My concern now is, because I've had Jarek go through the record, was JWS and Tony's both notified that they could make an appearance and that they were that they were included in Mr. Foreman's appeal in this case?
Yes, they were.
And I know that to date that they've not that Tony's at least has not chosen to have counsel represent itself as interested party. Am I correct?
That's correct. Neither has entered an appearance as an interested party. They were notified of the both the protest and the appeal to the OPA.
Okay, and do you remember when JWS was notified?
I believe shortly after the both shortly after the protest and the appeal. I don't have the file open, but I, off the top of my head, I don't recall, Your Honor.
Because my concern is I'd like to continue, I mean, to go forward with the schedule that we have and have the hearing in 2 weeks as per the schedule. But I'm really concerned about the fact that I want to make sure that JWS knows that it's not been dismissed by your motion, and that if it wanted to make an appearance, it had better get itself in here.
I can submit that type of notice if the OPA desires to both JWS and essentially Tony's workshop. I haven't sent them the schedule simply because they had not entered an appearance after my earlier notice. I would also like the OPA to note that they actually did submit various statements in support of UOG in our filings.
I noted that in your exhibits.
Yeah, but I can make that notice to them today, Your Honor, if you so desire.
Yes, please notify both of them and tell them that if they're going to make an appearance, I want an appearance before next Friday. If they're going to request a continuance of the hearing, then they're going to need to notify us also by next Friday.
I will do so today, Your Honor.
Okay, please.
And I'll also give a copy to Mr. Foreman as well.
All right. Okay.
Is the OPA going to issue a decision in writing?
I suppose we could. I mean, we could, but I'm just saying, I mean, I've announced it already, so.
I understand.
Get it out and okay. On the motion, and that we're going to go forward.
And I'll, as stated, I will notify the other potential parties.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We're off the record at 10:19 a.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jerry.